So we're going to read the translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but He is not as easily accessible to mental speculators. To those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the son of Mother Yasoda, is very easily available to devotees, but not to tapasvis, yogis, jnanis, and others who have a bodily concept of life. Although they may sometimes be called Shanta Bhaktas, real bhakti begins with Dasya Ras. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:11, Yeyatamam prapanyante tamsta devam bhajami aham mam vartmanan vartante manashu partha sarvasya. As living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prithu. Everyone is seeking Krishna, for He is the super soul of all individual souls. Everyone loves His body and wants to protect it, because He is within the body as the soul. And everyone loves the soul, because the soul is part and parcel of the super soul. Therefore, everyone is actually seeking to achieve happiness by reviving this relationship with the super soul. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedas cha savashe hamiva veja, by all the Vedas, it is I who am to be known. Therefore, the karmis, jnanis, yogis, and saintly persons are all seeking Krishna. But by following in the footsteps of the devotees who are in a direct relationship with Krishna, especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, one can reach the supreme position of associating with Krishna. As it is said, Vrindavanam prati yaya padma ekad na gachati. Krishna does not leave Vrindavan even for a moment. The Vrindavan Vasis, Mother Yasoda, Krishna's friends, and Krishna's conjugal lovers, the younger gopis with whom He dances, have very intimate relationships with Krishna. And if one follows in the footsteps of these devotees, Krishna is available. Although the Nitya Siddha expansions of Krishna always remain with Krishna. If those engaged in sadhana siddhi follow in the footsteps of Krishna, Krishna's Nitya Siddha associates, such sadhana siddhis also can easily attain Krishna without difficulty. But there are those who are attached to bodily concept of life. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, for example, have very prestigious positions, and thus they have the sense of being very exalted Ishwaras. In other words, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are guna avatars and have exalted positions, they have some small sense of being like Krishna. But the pure devotees who inhabit Vrindavan do not possess any bodily conception. They are fully dedicated to the service of the Lord in sublime affection, prema. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore recommended prema pum arto mahan. The highest perfection of life is prema, pure love in relationship with Krishna. And Mother Yasoda appears to be the topmost of devotees who have attained this perfection. Amagina Taramanda Shaganangana Salakaya Shakshashur Militam Yena Tasme Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manambishtam Stapitam Yenabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Padanti Swa Padanti Kam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathtam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichajan Satam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sahakavatamscha He Krishna Charana Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagapate Gopiswa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapcha Kanchana Gorengi Radhi Vrindavanishwari Vishabanu Sutta Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So just do the translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators. To those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. If I could ask for the blessings of the devotees, it's not my strong point to speak, but I'm going to try and find something through the Lord's mercy that could be useful in our devotional practice. So this chapter and this Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 is very high knowledge, as we understand. And as high as it is, it's also quite simple in some ways, looking at this relationship between Mother Yasoda and Lord Krishna. As we can see in this material world, Prabhupada explains it's a reflection. It's very reflective. And if I observe, even in my own family life, the way my wife is with my son, or like a mother to a child, it's very selfless. And Prabhupada explains that, you know, the closest thing to our relationship with Krishna is the unconditional love of the mother to the child. So Lord Krishna in the spiritual world with Mother Yasoda is one of the ultimate relationships, which is very selfless. And but as we Prabhupada explains, when we're in the material world, if you're walking, you know, in a park and you see the stream or a lake, you know, and you look into the water, maybe there might be some fruit trees, but when you look into the water, you see the reflection, and then if you jump in, you know, to try and get the fruit, you're going to get wet and miserable. And then this is our position in the material world. This is very reflective. And so it's quite interesting because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. So selfless, this is one of the main qualities. Explains about the gopis as well, that the highest relationship between the Lord and his devotees is between Krishna and the gopis. I'm not going to speak much on this matter. I'm just sort of starting from the top to the bottom, really. But as we know, in one of the past times that Krishna had a headache, you know, and he wanted, the only thing that could soothe his headache was dust from the feet of his devotees. And so they went to look for who could give that dust. And even, as we understand, the queens of Dwarka wouldn't do that because they thought it'd be an offense. But then when the gopis were approached, they thought of Krishna's, uncomfortable situation. So instantly they weren't worried about their, the reaction of giving the dust from their feet. They were just more concerned about solving the problem for Krishna, but they didn't mind if they had to go to hell, or as long as it makes the Lord happy. This is the most highest surrender. And then there's like Mother Yasoda and Krishna, and she's, you know, how can a Supreme Lord be chased, you know, by his mother? I mean, you won't find that in any of her spiritual teaching or religion. I mean, if you say that in a mosque or in a church, there'll be a lot of opposing elements. But there's a deeper knowledge, and this is given to the devotee who sincerely surrenders to the Lord through service, surrenders their heart. So, and then there's like Arjuna and Krishna. You know, Krishna was there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he's offered to ride the chariot for Krishna. To drive it, because it's quite a lowly activity, as we understand, to be a chariot driver, and he took the subordinate position, and Arjuna's there firing the arrows and directing Krishna in what direction to go in. So the Lord is conquered by the love of his devotee, which is quite interesting. Yeah. So. And as we see in the, that's like a Sakya Ras, and then into Dashya Ras, there's Hanuman. He worships Lord Ram, and he's always in awe and reverence, and he stays in his position as a servant. But this is our line, really. This is good for us for most of us, is to approach the Lord as a servant. This is what Lord Chaitanya is giving us. The process is to become das, das, anu, das, servant of the servant, of the devotees. And so when I was thinking that there's three main points I found in the purport, and which is one is them, that everyone is seeking pleasure in this world. Everyone's looking for Krishna. You know, people don't know it. Obviously, most people in this world, 99% people don't understand. They're looking for the Supreme Lord, but they're looking in the wrong place. As we understand, this material world is, I mean, on the whole, it's quite a small place compared to the whole spiritual, the spiritual world, which is ever expanding. Say the material world is just this little cloud in the corner, which is actually formed due to our misuse of independence, and we're down here. And most of these living entities in this world, especially in the human form of life, are turning away from Krishna, and they're trying to look for happiness in a temporary place. They're looking for, you know, that eternity, but it's coming and going so fast, and the material energy is so strong that no one can even stop and look around to question. They do have that chance. Everyone has that free will to do this, but due to the modes of nature, everyone is so bewildered, and it's like a desert. Sometimes in the desert, this material world is like a desert. You, as Prabhupada explains, you're looking around for, and you're thirsty for spiritual knowledge, and you think you see some water, and you go over to it, and it's actually, you're looking for that temporary happiness, and you go to drink, but it's sand. You're flicking the sand up in your face, and this is the reaction from trying to enjoy the material world. But there's always a chance to, everyone has that free will to turn to Krishna, to turn to God, to pray. And so, you know, you can also see sometimes on the side of happiness and distress. I was just going to say that, you know, like Bhadri Narayan Maharaj gives a nice example. Anyway, he gives a good example, and he says that you look at the pleasure and pain of the material body. You measure it. You can measure it sometimes, even by looking at your little toe. You know, because if you look at your little toe, you could say, how much pleasure does my little toe give me? You know, if you're trying to find pleasure in the body, and you're looking at your little toe, and it doesn't really do much. You know, you can't get much satisfaction from your little toe. But the pain process is much more powerful than the pleasure process, because if you're walking, sometimes you smash your toe, And it's so painful compared to the pleasure you'll get from it. So this is just a small comparison of how much the body can cause you suffering compared to the temporary pleasure that we look for. I mean, I'm not on a self-realized position. I'm not a self-realized soul myself, of course, but I'm still practicing in Krishna consciousness. But and sometimes I fall victim to bodily concepts and things. But with Krishna consciousness, it's just such a great process. It's so purifying through association of devotees that you get a chance to see at least the light, the goalposts of where we're going. And the hope, not just hope, but inner faith, and Krishna gives you that taste, a little drop of nectar, which is uncomparable to anything in the material world. And so we try to stay in practice and go towards that. I'm going to follow a few notes. So I was explaining that sometimes people are so, most of us are, well, not as devotees so much. We are in some stages of Maya, but most of the non-devotees are caught up in the material energy, of course, and it's so powerful. Devi hei saguna maye mama maya darantaya mami via prapanyante mayami tam tarantate. This divine nature, this divine energy of mine is difficult to overcome, but for one who surrenders unto me will cross beyond without fail. So surrender into the Lord. And even Lord Indra, as we understand, he was sent to the material world, and he was cursed, and he became a pig, a hog. And he was there in the material world with his family, and I mean he's still in the material world as his position as Indra, but he had to he got heavily covered due to some offence, and when he came to Earth he was in the body of a hog, and he had the hog family, and when it was time, when the post became vacant again and they needed to bring him back, he wouldn't come back. He wanted to stay there, you know, down with his the hogs and everything. And so this is how easily covered we can be. But they called him back in the end. I think they had to cause his death as a pig, and then he came back as to the post of Indra. But so no one is really, you know, we have this great opportunity to use our intelligence to inquire, because that's the human form of life, is for inquiry. Atata Brahma Jigyasa. You know, that's where it really starts. That's where different levels of consciousness, and most humans are in quite dull consciousness, but when we really open up, you know, open up the book or turn the lights on, is when we question, who am I? You know, what's this place? Where am I going? What's the goal of life? Because there's that conversation between Yamaraj and Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he asks him all those questions, and Yamaraj says to him, "What's the most amazing thing in this world?" We've heard this many times, but we need to hear it a lot, I suppose, because the most amazing thing in this world is, even though many people are being born, many people are dying, they're going to Yamaraj's abode, the average person always thinks, "Well, not me, it's not going to happen to me, death, you know, I'm okay, not now." But death is always there, it's taking everything away. We're not so exposed to it, even geographically. I mean, living in England, it's very covered, death. You know, it's if there's an accident anywhere, you know, it's quite organized. There's all, everything's sort of cornered off. You don't want to see it. Or, I mean, we don't want to really look at these things. Prabhupada said a devotee doesn't have to see anything too bad. He doesn't need to go to the crematorium and watch the bodies burn, but because he knows about this. But we're very sheltered from it in this side of the world. But then if you go to India, it's very exposed. It's quite easy to understand that way. A lot of the population there are quite open to the nature of the spirit and the relationship with the Lord. So that's one sort of point, is that it's not easy. I mean, everyone is seeking the Supreme Lord. They have great opportunity, which is good for the Sankirtan devotees, of course, and the Harinams and the Prasadam distribution. Prasadam distribution is Srila Prabhupada's secret weapon. You know, if you can't get the books to people, they won't read it, or if they if they growl at the Harinam, you know, most people do take prasadam. Some people don't, and then, but then when it's nice and hot and warm and you're dishing it out, that they get a chance and they honor that prasadam, they eat it, and it awakens, it helps awaken that, uncover that consciousness, take away the dirt and the dust. And that's our process. That's what we're doing as well in spiritual life. We're continuously chanting, and you know, it's an ongoing process. A devotee never really thinks, you know, I'm at the end of the track now. I'm self-realized. There's always room for improvement. And so Krishna also, on the second point, Krishna is not easy accessible, as it's explained in here. And I guess when Prabhupada says spontaneous loving service, but he who is not as easily accessible in to the mental speculators. But Prabhupada, yeah, he's talking about the pure devotees that can get access to the Supreme Lord. I forgot to bring the Bhagavad Gita, but I know that in like 9.2 Bhagavad Gita, you know, Rajavidya, Rajaguya, Pavitrami, Mamutaman, that, you know, this is the topmost knowledge, and it's the secret of all knowledge as well. But even though it's accessible to everyone, it is the most secret knowledge, but it's available to all who would like, you know, who really would want to find it. But you've got to dig a bit, as I say. You've got to, you can't get it from your own digging power. Of course, we need the mercy ultimately, and this is where it's really important that, I mean, I speak to myself on this, is try and get out or do some kind of passing on this, or be a good example, just to inspire someone who doesn't have some such spiritual knowledge, that they might become favorable towards devotees or favored towards Krishna consciousness, and this can help activate their spiritual life. This is what we're really there for. It's like Lord Chaitanya is he's keeping us, as we say, combat effective, meant to be. We're like in a little army in some ways. We're meant to be keeping ourselves groomed and ready to attract others to Krishna consciousness. And I find it more difficult myself. I used to go out on book distribution quite a lot. It's more difficult now for me. I mean, I'm working and with the cows and stuff, but just in my experience now, trying to work on my inner qualities, like tolerance and things, just in family life. It's very interesting. You start to see, and now having a child, I look around, I see how Krishna conscious I'm not really. And when a child's there and you need to sort of speak some Krishna consciousness or play in a Krishna conscious way, it's quite difficult sometimes to dig down, for me anyway. But this is what we're meant to be doing, is ready to give Krishna consciousness. And I can see myself, it's very on the surface. It's actually, hopefully, yeah, deep down it's there in the soul, but that sort of dust between the top and the bottom is quite thick. So in general, I mean, this may apply to some others, but this is why we carry on with the process, and not just the boring process, but we try to surrender more each day. We try to do more chanting, more hearing, more service in some way, or be conscious of Krishna. I tell myself this. So you know, Krishna's not easy to accessible, like 9.11 Bhagavad Gita, Avajante Mam Mudha Manasantana Manashritam. You know, fools deride me when I descend in my human form. They do not know my transcendental nature, the Supreme Lord of all that be. It's a high qualification in a way, or a sincere inquiry and a surrender to understand that God has a form. You know, there's the three aspects of God consciousness. One is also highly elevated just by understanding that God is all pervading. He's in everything. He's Brahman, and then also the Lord is localized. He's in the heart of all living entities. He's Paramatma. Prabhupada gives a nice example, like two birds on a tree. On a branch, one bird is eating the fruit, and that's us trying to enjoy, but the other bird is just watching everything he does, and that's Krishna. He's always knocking on the door. And fortunate enough, Krishna is so loving and caring beyond our, I mean, as I understand, reading the scriptures, I haven't got a high realization, but I know he's very merciful, but is that he cares for us more than we care for him. He's the one that's always trying to call us back, but he gives us that free will. And we're the ones always turning away most of the time. And but we carry on. Lord Chaitanya explains that you keep Kirtanya Sadahari. You chant the holy name and you carry on. You know, and sometimes it's one step forward and two steps back, but we go forward. And because what's the alternative in this material world? Once you become a devotee or near devotees or aspire to be a devotee, you see, I remember before I joined, a few friends were telling me, you be careful with the Hare Krishnas, you know. But it was hard for me then because I couldn't, you know, I was so taken back by them. And I suppose I was suffering quite a lot as well in the material world. Thank goodness. I think that was the only way I would have joined in some ways because I didn't have the intelligence enough to inquire probably. There was some inquiry there. I've lost my train of thought, but I'm just coming back now. One person was saying, "Be careful of the devotees. Once you go there, you won't be the same. They bring, you know, they change you. That something changes." And I really like the sound of that. I personally, deep inside, I thought I really need the change. I hope it's real, because if it's real, it is going to change you. So that gave me more sort of enthusiasm to come and meet the devotees, really. And but I mean, not saying that in a derogative sense. It's because everything in this material world is quite. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Chigurani Tai Ki Jai. It's quite. Everything is reversed. Like I was saying, it's a perverted reflection. Sometimes we think materially that these bad things happen, but for a devotee, if he sincerely prays, he knows that nothing really belongs to him ultimately. And that we're introspective, like introspective sages, and we sort of see that even if something bad, it can be something good, because Prabhupada explains that any failure is a pillar of success. It's a way forward in our spiritual life. There's a way of approaching the Lord, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, the 13th chapter, in the 8 to 12, there's the 20 items of knowledge. And humility is the first item. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, you know, tolerance, simplicity. Amazing qualities. I mean, these are, we may be able to do things externally, like a job or something, but these internal qualities, to practice these is very high level. You know, especially when you're in close proximity with devotees or in close service and all your baggage is coming up, or, you know, you've got to really try and take shelter and not make offenses. And it's a good thing, because it's the cleaning process. This is real. This is as real as it gets. And because the material world is like a, I suppose it is like a sort of a hospital in some ways. We're all down here all getting bandaged up, for those who choose, you know. And we, when we go towards Krishna consciousness, it's like an intensive care unit in some ways. It's like, because you're really learning to, you know, when you start chanting, I suppose you're learning to try and deal with what's inside as well. You take the mirror out a little bit, and you have to work with what's in there, the anattas. I was just thinking about, yeah, so we're on this subject of, you know, Krishna is not easily accessible. Like, there was that time when Duryodhan, just before the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Arjuna, they went to Dwarka to see Krishna, and Krishna was sleeping at the time they came. So they quietly entered the room, and Duryodhan walked straight over to Krishna, where Krishna's head was, and he's sort of standing there, you know, and waiting for him to wake up. Then Arjuna humbly walked down to his feet and waited for the Lord to awake. And at a certain point, the Lord opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he was looking at down by his feet. And Duryodhan said, "Oh Lord, we've come to ask for your help in this battle. I came first here, so Can you please help me? And Krishna said, well, when I opened my eyes, I saw Arjuna first, so he can have the first choice if you both want help. And he said, I offer this. I offer either you take 100,000 of my invincible Narayan warriors, or you can have me on the chariot, but I'm not getting involved in the fight. I'm nothing to do with it. And in his, obviously in a much nicer way, you say that. And Arjuna said, yes, dear Lord, I only want you, because he's his pure devotee, you know, they're friends as well. Arjuna, obviously, when he looks back, sometimes he gets embarrassed about his familiarity with Krishna, but then, you know, the Lord's very merciful and they have a friendship. And so Arjuna chooses Krishna to be on his chariot, and he's just completely content. So at that point, Duryodhan laughs. He says, you take Krishna with, and he's not even going to fight. I take the army. This is great. This is a win-win situation, he thinks. So, but he's thinking of approaching, you know, he thinks he's going to win the battle, but Arjuna took the, materially, it looked like it was an underdog situation, but actually, because Arjuna's has such faith in the Supreme Lord, he took the Lord on his chariot. And he was obviously, as we know, the outcome of the battle, he was victorious. Arjuna was, but it wasn't easy. You know, it wasn't an easy battle, because it's like life. We may have come in and had a chance to meet the devotees and get Krishna consciousness, but still, there's a battle every day for the conditioned soul. Especially speaking in, maybe not just for myself, but a lot. You know, a lot of us on a conditioned platform, we. Every day is a battle. That's it's an ongoing process. It's actually very ongoing. Ravan also, he tried to get into the, you know, he tried to attain Krishna or attain the heavens. He made a staircase to heaven. You know, thought he could go up there and, you know, kick the doors in. And but he was. You know, that's not the way it goes. Ravan came to a bad end as well. I mean, there was that time that Ravan, he was so covered by the material energy. Ultimately, he was a great devotee. He was obviously Jai and Vijay. They fell to them. They were sent to the material world, and Ravana was just playing that part of a demon in the Lord's pastimes. But he was so covered by the material energy that he. He forgot how powerful Krishna was, and he went to see Bali Maharaj that time. He said, you know, can you give us some help? I want to fight Ram, Lord Ram. I want to go and fight him. And Bali Maharaj said, you're crazy. You don't want to fight the Supreme Lord. He's your creator. He's in charge of everything. And he wouldn't have it. So at the end, Bali Maharaj said, listen, he said, I've got a present for you. You know, He said, yeah, it's real opulent. It's a great big jewel. But the price is, if you can lift it, you can take it. So he took him into this big, opening of land, and there was a massive, beautiful gem. It was so big, and Ravana was overcome by his, attachment for material opulence. So he went over and he tried to lift it, but he couldn't lift it. And as we understand, Bali Maharaj said to him, he said, you can't lift that jewel. He said, in your previous life, you were a Hiranyakashipu, he said, and you fought Vishnu and Lord Nisringadev, and he killed you. He said, and that was your earring that you were wearing. He said, and you can't even lift it in this life. What makes you think you're going to be able to fight the Supreme Lord? So I'm just going through a few points that Krishna is... He won't answer to those who are trying to be forceful, of course, but he's won by devotion. Like when Bhishma Dev was on the battlefield of Kurusetra on the 10th day, at the end of the, not the end of the battle, but the middle of the battle, and he said, because of a certain thing that the night before, Krishna used some of his mystic potency, and Bhishma said, tomorrow I will fight so powerfully that I'll put Arjuna under so much pressure that Krishna will have no choice to intervene in the battle. So at that time, when Arjuna was there, Bhishma fired so many arrows at Arjuna and the Lord that Krishna, he had to intervene. And Bhishma could see this because he saw that the Lord would break his promise to protect his devotee. And when Bhishma was firing those arrows, he has such a deep relationship with Krishna. He was firing, they were lotus, they were flowers, they were pushpa. He was offering flowers. So there was a lot of deeper relationship going on. It wasn't just a battle. It was a whole relationship between the Lord and his devotee. And then Krishna jumped off his chariot and he picked up his chariot wheel and he's going to kill Bhishma. And Bhishma was glad to accept that. He was ready to take a glorious death by the Supreme Lord. And Arjuna didn't want the Lord to break his promise. So he grabbed his arm, his legs and pulled him back. So this is the love between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. It's the Lord is conquered by love. I mean, I'm not really qualified to speak on this thing of love, but I can see it a bit in my, like I say, to my own life, maybe with my own son. He is in some ways helping me open up the gates a bit, as they say, open up the doors. Because you're sort of like this sometimes in life. I find it myself, you're sort of holding on and nothing's going to, I'm calculative sometimes, I chant my rounds, I'll do this for Krishna, everything's in boxes, but you've got to try and, as I see, we've got to try and come out of the box. We're not really going to get back to Krishna without stepping out the comfort zone. And back to the point of, yeah, Mother Yasoda and baby Krishna, these things soften the heart and they help us connect, personal connection, because Krishna consciousness is very personal. I'm very impersonal myself. It's a very impersonal age. We're brought up in a way of impersonalism, but it's very, very personal. So if we keep chanting the holy name, it helps purify the heart and keeps, as they say, keep the cement wet. Because if the cement dries when you stop chanting, if you stop chanting, the cement will dry up, meaning the heart becomes hard, like dry cement. And you can't really move, but when you're chanting and you're in association with devotees and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and residing in a holy place, worshipping the form of the Lord, the deity, the Supreme Lord, then this just helps keep us moving in spiritual life. The last point was only through bhakti, only through devotion. So the three points were, everyone's seeking happiness. They're seeking Krishna. The happiness really is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is not so easily accessible, only to his pure devotees. And only through devotion, through bhakti, as explains in Bhagavad Gita, 1855, bhakti mama bhijananti yivamya tasmai tadvidaha, that only for one who's surrendered in devotional service and situated, can he enter into the kingdom of God. We need to follow the direction, actually, the instructions of our spiritual masters, our gurus, very important. These great devotees take shelter. There's a nice example. We got to stand in the footsteps. Vaisheshika Prabhu gives a nice example. When they're going around Govardhan Hill, really early in the morning, and sometimes these sadhus are going very fast, and he says he tries to get behind them, and he's literally walking in the same footsteps, and because they know the road so well, and they're going barefoot, they don't really step on any thorns or cause themselves too much damage. So he gets behind the sadhu, and he's taking literally the same steps and the same route. And this is our line in Krishna consciousness, is to to take shelter and guidance from advanced devotees. And obviously we have friendships with those on the same steps, and those that are new or maybe just joining or haven't got as much hasn't been around as long, we should help them and give them give them care and attention. But we should try to associate with those that are or take instruction. We need instruction. You know, what I mean, correction means direction. We need a bit of help down here because we're a little off course being in the material world. So that's it, really. We can stop there. If anyone's got any, points or questions or corrections, Hare Krishna.